IMRO's 2023 Best Local or Regional News Programme. The Voice of the Northwest, the 9 till noon show with Greg Hughes.
Okay, you're very welcome back to the second hour of the show. Good morning if you've just joined us. And a good morning to Marie, Kate, Bernie, Kathy, Dolores, Dahi, Darren, Michael, Neil, Philomena, Pedro, and who else? We have Philomena. And many of you watching the show online, appreciate it too. We're on YouTube, Highland Radio Ireland. My mum is in hospital and has dementia and is waiting to be transferred to a nursing home. But because there are no beds available, she remains in hospital taking up a medical bed, which is a worry. Hi, I'm in America right now and I just had to call in. They do the same as the USA. Keep the elderly in the elderly person's home as long as possible. The immigrants coming in should come and care for the elderly as they do in America. Ireland is giving the immigrants a lot of benefits without working for it. It's a win-win with the system in America. Any further experience of that to 086 60 25 000. From outside the Republic, of course, 00353 86 60 25 000. Could they not put more money into the hospital instead of putting 15 million euro into Errigal College? There's nothing wrong with the Errigal College, and the hospital badly needs money put into it. The money's there for the hospital as well if they want to. It's not like, again, and I'm sorry to repeat myself because I understand where you're coming from and your view, but not putting the money into Errigal, it doesn't mean it goes into Errigal College. It doesn't mean it goes into the hospital. It doesn't work like that. There's a hospital budget. The money is there. If someone has the will to invest more, and the government would say they are, it's not dependent on whether or not money is spent on Errigal College, if that makes sense. Fan at bingo cancelled tonight because of the weather. Thanks very much, says someone involved in the organisation of that. So if you're planning to go to Fan at bingo tonight, I'm told it is cancelled. Hi, Greg. You have to pay in the Netherlands. Toilets are very clean. Yeah, exactly. I mean, I wonder, is that the way it's going? Should we pay to go to the toilet? If it means, and there would have to be sort of like a contract with us, that if we did pay, that the toilets would always be up to an acceptable standard. Why are the public toilets never kept clean? It's an ongoing problem. I remember years ago when the public toilets in Boncrana were below the courthouse. They were dreadful, and as young ones, we used to run past as the smell was horrible. But I was stopped one time by a tourist asking where the toilets were, and after I pointed them out, I ran as fast as I could up the street, and as I didn't want to meet the people coming out. It was embarrassing years ago, but I never forget waking up. Council. Donegal's the most deprived county in Ireland, yet we have the largest percentage of refugees and asylum seekers, says a listener. Greg, illegal immigrants and Ukrainians are looked after before the Irish people, but media and politicians are the only ones that want them. IPAS aren't necessarily illegal immigrants, as you framed them there, but are they looked after before the Irish? That's that listener's view. The media wanting them? I don't know. I sit here and I read views from people who, if you're including us, read views from people that are very much in favour of people coming into the country, that they believe it's very important and necessary and a duty, and then others that are dead against it. So the public are clever. The listeners, you the listeners, are clever. You don't need me to try and, neither would I want to, influence people's views one way or another. You have your own views. I was in the ED the other day and it happened. I was in the ED the other day and it appeared like every non-national person was seen before anyone else. Is this a thing or was it a coincidence? There's a criteria as to how people are seen. It's based on need, sort of, not colour or race or nationality or religion. Older people were always cared for in their own homes. They want to collect them from the hospital now. They won't collect them from the hospital now unless they have sight of the will. Why has the unit in Ballyshannon not opened? How many millions of euro did it cost? And it's sitting empty with all the lights and presumably heating on. I thought that was occupied already. I'll check into that. While on the topic of fire safety, can you, as Councillor McMonagall, ask Councillor McMonagall how the two large buildings which were previously condemned and stopped from being used as student accommodation in Letterkenny due to a lack of fire exits are now deemed acceptable to house asylum seekers? I'm not sure of the buildings that you talk of, but that's that listener's point of view. What's the cap on Ukrainians and international protection applicants? We're on 1% now in Donegal, but will that number just continue to rise? When does the government say that we are unable to house anymore. Well, there was a stop put on people being moved to Donegal for a time at least, because not in terms of the services that are available. I'm not sure if that decision has been reversed or if people are still coming in or being moved within the county. I'm really not quite sure. But is there a cap? I think not a cap on numbers, but there certainly appeared to have been a cap placed on people coming here based on the ability of the services to cope with the increased population that happened. There's an awful lot of people here now. Percentage-wise, it's relatively low. But I've not heard of any moves to move people here. But as I say, I'm open to correction. I'm just, I don't hear everything. Okay, let us take a break for the bingo numbers. We'll be back with our next guest after these.
The county's number one talk show, the 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Okay, we were talking about the public toilets in Letterkenny's Town Park. Hi, Greg, if toilets are going to be paid for, they'd need to be set up for contactless, etc. nowadays as well. There would be nothing worse than not having any coins when nature calls. Well, I think us, the public, expect everything but have no care for anything. Yeah, charge for using toilets, that'll make people respect public toilets. Okay, as I say, I'm not campaigning for it. I'm just wondering, is it possibly the future? That being said, if it were the case, then we'd need an acceptable standard for our cost. Kiva, what's your experience of using the toilets in the Letterkenny Town Park? Good morning to you.
Morning, Greg. It was terrible. I was at an appointment in St Connells and I had left and I needed to go to the toilet. And I went round and I opened the door and nothing prepared me for the smell that hit me. And I looked at the toilet and I quickly closed the door again. It was awful.
We're talking body waste in there.
Yes, all over the toilet. Nobody could use, definitely was not fit for purpose last Monday anyway.
I mean, I know obviously you had to turn on your heel and get out of there as quick as possible, but like, do you get the impression that that was one person that was responsible or multiple people or...?
Well, I don't know, but it definitely probably wasn't one person. But I mean, it could have happened at any stage over the weekend. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And then I just got back into the car and I drove home. I just had to wait till I got home to use the toilet.
And Kiva, what do you think stops people, or why do people not use the toilet correctly? I.e., there's space in the toilet that you're supposed to use, if you know what I mean. Like, what's going on that people aren't using the toilets right?
I don't know. Definitely, it didn't, to me, that, personally, looking at that toilet, I thought, was that a human that actually done that? You know what I mean? It was terrible. The way it was done and everything, it was just awful to look at. And just whenever you opened the door, the smell just hit you. And I quickly closed the door because I thought I was going to be sick.
Yeah. Do you think someone's deliberately doing stuff like that? Like they get some kick off it or whatever?
Maybe somebody did do it deliberately, but, you know, if they didn't, you know, they should have tried to clean it up as best that they could, you know, afterwards. You know, because if somebody was using the toilet, you would expect them, you know, to clean it if they, you know, if
made
they dirtied
mess.
It or anything
yeah.
like that,
yeah.
made a mess, you know. Okay. Well, I would anyway, if I was in that position, I wouldn't leave a toilet like that.
I don't think you'd ever risk opening that door again, would you?
No, I would never go back there. I would have to, you know, whenever I'm out in public, if I have to go somewhere, I have to plan my trip and make sure that I have access to a toilet. And that day, I just did not have access to the toilet. And I thought to myself, I says, will I make it home, you know, because I live 20 minutes outside later, can I?
Yeah. Okay, Kiva, listen, sorry about that you had to go through that. I appreciate you taking the call there. Greg, I have to pay every time. Sorry, that's on something different. I wanted to stick with the toilets here. We were talking about blood tests. I'll come back to the toilets. We were talking about blood tests last week and people saying they had to pay and don't have to pay. I think if you're just notifying us of your experience, just if you could mention whether or not you're a GP visit card or a medical card holder. But it says here, this listener, Greg, I have to pay every time I get blood tests. And then for a veneration and phlebotomy, similar to blood donation, as I have hemochromatosis, It's an iron overload, which is a long-term condition. As a taxpayer, get nothing free thanks to this great government. Yeah, well, yes, so you'll never be entitled to free blood tests. But if you do have a medical card or a GP visit card, the only way your blood tests are free, according to the information available, the only way your blood tests are free is under the GP Chronic Disease Management Programme. They're covered by the fees paid to GPs by the HSE for this care. So if it is routine stuff, if it is just to see what your iron levels are like, I don't believe them to be free. It depends on the GP's practice. The GPs only, and the HSE had to refund an awful lot of money because people were being charged incorrectly. If it's for chronic disease management or the chronic disease management program, then your blood test should be free with the visitor GP card or the GP visit card or your medical card. Elsewhere, if you don't have a medical card or a GP visit card, it's a private transaction between you and the GP. Could you get someone on from the HSE to clarify for paying for bloods, even if you have a medical card? My wee boy has a medical card and we have to pay €20 for blood still. What does the medical card actually cover? Does the HSE initiate the cost of bloods or is it the doctor's surgery? So there's a range, I think €20 to €50 it can be. But unless your son, unless I'm reading the information incorrectly, unless he's part of the chronic disease management program, then he's not covered. So if you're unwell, you visit the doctor, any necessary blood tests are free with the doctor. So it has to be necessary. There's different information out there, actually. I'm going to have to double check all that, but I'm taking this from the HSE's. Own website. Right. Okay. So let's go through this. Three medical services with a medical card or GP visit card. It's not really quite clear there either. Blood tests to diagnose or monitor a condition, they're both free with a medical card or a GP visit card. So blood tests to diagnose or monitor a condition. So that's when your medical card or GP visit card should cover those costs, which actually probably covers quite a range of things. That's according to the Citizens Advice. Right, okay. We are speaking now to a good Samaritan in Rushing. Hi, Rushing.
Good morning, Craig. How are you?
I'm doing good. How are you keeping, Rushing? Is it Rushing?
I'm not
or
doing
Rushing?
So bad, Craig.
Is it Rushing?
Rushing. Perfect.
Okay, good stuff. So, Rushing, you were out and about just before the weekend or at the weekend, depending on how you count it, on Friday. And what happened? What did you come across?
I found a substantial amount of money kind of coming out of the Letterkenny Shopping Centre. It happened at 2 o'clock, so at lunchtime on Friday, Craig.
And was it loose in an envelope or...?
It was actually loose, so it was. The money was loose and all together, kind of. So it wasn't in a wallet or anything like that, but it was loose, yeah.
So who do you think might own it? Does it look like it may have just been taken out of a cash machine, or maybe someone was going shopping, or maybe someone collected a pension or something along those lines? Do you have your suspicions?
Yeah, that is my feeling. I have a feeling that it could have been someone maybe at the cash point because it wasn't too far away from there. Mm-hmm. It could be an elderly person that has lifted their pension, quite possibly. So I really want to get in touch with the person that owns it and get it back, 2 weeks after Christmas, Craig, because, it's important important to me that they get it back. Yeah.
Well, fair play to you. Hopefully the person who lost that is listening. We want to triage it too. We're not going to give your number out, but I mean, we don't want someone ringing up and guessing figures either, if you know what I mean. I don't want you. So we'll help in that regard a little bit in terms of passing details on Rushing. But I mean, obviously, okay. The person you would hope they would know how much that they lost.
Exactly. That's kind of what my hope would be, that they're not going to guess, but they would definitely put the correct figure on it. Yeah,
okay.
That would be ideal, really.
So we'll have your details here, obviously. And, well, you've made those arrangements with Caroline, how you want that to work, Rushing. But if you were out and about in Letterkenny, in the vicinity of the Letterkenny Shopping Centre on Friday, a good Samaritan here, Rushing, found a significant sum of money. Given that it's pension day or things are tight for everyone at this time, Rushing wants to get it back.
Absolutely.
To its rightful owner. So, Roisin, we've put the message out there. We'll see what happens. And as you say, hopefully we can get it back to the person that wants it and the person that needs it, sorry, that's their money. Is absolutely that okay, Roisin? Anything that you want to add?
That is brilliant, Craig.
All right, okay,
I'm very happy with that. Thank you for
lovely
giving me the
stuff.
Time. Thank
bye
you.
Bye-bye, Roisin. Take care of yourself. Contact us here on 07491 25000. Is there any update on the road from Mina Roy to Dunlow? Is it passable? I didn't hear about that road this morning, so I don't know what the story is. I think, and I'm obviously not right across the region, I think we're going to get the worst of the snow over the next few days. So we're probably going to wake up overnight to some snow in some places. We've got Alan O'Reilly from Carlo Weather, who's been tracking these weather fronts, these weather systems. He's going to be coming on with us a little later on to tell us exactly what we can expect tonight into tomorrow, Wednesday, Thursday. I think it's going to be pretty cold as we head towards the weekend. But if there is a snowfall, we're going to find out what levels of snowfall. Is it going to be high level, low level, what the amounts are likely to be. So stay tuned for that if you're interested in finding out what the snowfall levels, if any, and I'm sure there is going to be some, is going to be over the next wee while. And just to remind you, in terms of that money, obviously it's on its right for the rightful owner that we're looking to speak to. If you want to contact us, 07491 25000. Okay, we're joined on the programme now by Cleena. Good morning to you. How are you getting on?
I'm not too bad, Greg. Lovely to be here.
It's great to have you in studio. Okay, we're talking about the registry office in Letterkenny. Now, it's obviously for a personal reason that you took an interest in this office in the first place. So take us through the story.
So myself and Andrew have been together 26 years and we never took the plunge. We were living over in the UK and we got back there just over a year ago, and just over the course of last summer, chatting to friends and family and all that kind of stuff, and decided, you know what, you know, kind of, why not? So,
do you want an answer to that?
Well, longer it takes to plan and get things together, the more I'm kind of thinking,
That was a rhetorical statement.
Absolutely. So now,
you took the decision.
We did.
In what month did you say?
So in November of last year, before Christmas, we decided, you know what, let's just do it. Mm-hmm. And we'll have a low-key event and, you know, that kind of thing. And you know, that there is that, you know, old joke of people getting married for tax reasons and for, you know, pension reasons and that kind of thing. And we're not getting any younger and all that kind of stuff. So, of course, love is involved, of course. In November of last year, I rang the registry office in Letterkenny and spoke to lovely girls there who told me that normally you only have to give 3 months notice to book an appointment to register your, want to marry. So they suggested that I ring back in the new year because they were still dealing with paperwork and all that kind of stuff leading for 2023. So I thought, absolutely no problem at all. So rang there last week with the idea of booking our appointment. We had a date in mind and that kind of thing. We want to get married in the garden, but obviously you can't do that at a weekend. So we were thinking we might move it to the a Friday event that the registrar could come and visit us in the garden. And we'd have just a marquee and that kind of a thing. Low key, close friends and family around.
And this happens at the registry office. Do they have spaces for that?
So, yes, they're meant to. So when I rang last week, I was informed immediately that they were not taking any bookings for this entire year, that they were full. To which I replied, no, sorry, I was talking to you in November. And I was told to ring back in January to book an appointment. I'm not sure what's going on here. You know, your heart sinks and then the anger rises.
Yeah.
So unfortunately, due to staff, lack of staff and numbers being low, that they couldn't facilitate any more weddings or any more bookings for registrars to come out on site, just to clarify. So it was to do with the embargo on the HSE. Now, I'll be honest, I was ignorant to this embargo, having not needed to know anything about it, I suppose, in my ignorance. So immediately I went to look to see what this embargo was all about. So having read through all the different representatives of government and TDs and all the kind of stuff and their spin on it, that it wasn't just the registry office, but the entire HSE has this embargo on it. So as far as I'm aware, it was meant to be lifted on the 31st of December, but obviously we're only 3 weeks into January. So the backlog and everything else, there's obviously meetings about meetings about meetings, and I'm not sure whether this thing is being extended. So I know like that my little kind of plight of trying to book my wedding, you know, bleeds into insignificance slightly in comparison to all these other people who are in a situation whereby they can't get you know,
There are some derogations for frontline staff.
Absolutely.
And I think really what they've...
Yeah, and the, students, exactly. Medical students and stuff. Yeah.
Again, sorry, Cleena, because it's actually quite educational at the same time too. Mm. Are there options, like in other words, if you want to just literally go and sign paperwork.
Yes.
You couldn't do that this year at all.
So, no. So that's where the clarification comes in. So there is another registry office in Stranoller. And I spoke to, again, lovely girls over there, because that's who I was kind of passed over to have a chat with them to see if the date... I suppose our problem is that we have a date in mind. Mm-hmm. And, you know yourself, when you're sending out invitations and you're trying to book other things around the event, that you have to start doing it well in advance. Now, we're probably quite late to the show, to be honest, when we're trying to book things at this late stage. A lot of people have things booked two years in advance. But we had certain things in place and we had a date in mind and we've kind of put out that save the date. So for me, that date was non-negotiable unless I change everything around it.
Mm-hmm.
Because this was not meant to be a problem, you know?
And I think, too, another thing that I've learned, too, I mean, I know birth, deaths and marriages are always grouped, those three words that follow each other.
Yeah.
But I didn't imagine the same staff are dealing with birth, deaths and marriages. And actually, you know, making marriages official.
Exactly.
I didn't actually see... It never
the
really
connection and that it was the same place.
And where now, the priorities might lie within that.
Exactly.
If you know what I mean.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I mean, the girls in Stranoller were great. And they, I mean, I suppose it's human nature, isn't it, to give out to the people who are there, because they're the ones that they're
the
ones,
face. They're the face.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And they're the only ones that you get to actually physically talk to. But they were fantastic and they were very reassuring. So, you know, so the date that we were looking at, unfortunately, they're fully booked on that date. But there is a provision for being put down on that if the couples that are coming on that particular date might change their mind.
That's all right for a driving test or something, but you don't want to be, you know what I mean? You don't want to be planning.
I don't want to be sending out invitations TBC written on them, you know? So
probably.
It might happen on this date, but sure, we'll let you know closer to the time.
Okay.
So that's kind of where we're at the moment.
There alternatives to, obviously there's the church weddings, chapel weddings, whatever way they're phrased. We have the register office. Now, I've attended weddings whereby it's in a hotel with a celebrant, okay?
Yes.
Does that replace going to the registry office, or do you still have to go to the registry office to legalise the marriage? I don't understand how that works.
There are different types of celebrants that can legally marry you. There are solemnizers, and then there's the humanist celebrant. And more and more of them are starting to be able to do your legal paperwork.
Okay.
So they would send off to the registry office for the relevant forms. They would bring them on the day, and then you would sign in front of your witnesses, and then it's sent back to the
registry
office.
And that's that done then? Okay, I get you, right?
Done. The only problem is, because we haven't and hadn't looked at booking a place, the date that we're looking at is a very popular date. Mm-hmm. So we've looked at all the hotels around, because again, we were thinking, oh my goodness, plan B, maybe we'll end up having to do it. I didn't want to do it in a hotel. I didn't want that big hoo-ha. So most of the hotels around us are booked for those dates. So we're now kind of back to square one again of, do we move it forward? Do we move it back?
Mm-hmm.
What do we look? You know, so that's where I'm at the moment, is trying to figure out, you know, what's the most important thing here?
But
it's not the registry office, it's the event.
Yeah.
It's having our friends and family around. Not being funny, but the registry office is just a piece of paper. So we could potentially have our celebrant in the garden on the weekend day that we want, and then go to the registry
office. Your garden,
office.
Sorry. When you say in the garden, do you mean your garden?
We're having it in our garden.
Your garden, okay, get you. Okay, understood,
So we can have, you know, a non-religious ceremony in the garden, and then go and do the paperwork afterwards.
So then obviously it would seem that the most likely solution, this would be a celebrant, but I presume that's not cheap either. And
no,
then there's
not
an availability issue as
oh
well.
Oh my goodness. I mean,
you need a celebrant that can actually do the paperwork.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. But the celebrants that we are looking at are coming from a distance.
Mm-hmm.
Therefore, the norm for a celebrant to come without accommodation and travel is between 500 and 600 euro.
Wow, okay. Right?
The ceremonies last anything from 10 minutes. Some people can do a full ceremony up to 40 minutes. Mm. Some people will provide a 55 minute. So that is what you're looking at. They charge 100 euro then for your travel, for their travel. And if they're coming from afar, now most of the celebrants we've looked at are either in Clare.
So you're looking at 1,000 euro.
Exactly. Yeah. So this low key, I know it sounds maybe a bit, you know, petty, but it was meant to be just something very personal and low key that it's turning into a bit of a monster.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
you're sort of being, you're finding yourself having to walk down the path that you were trying to avoid.
Exactly.
You wanted something simple, low-key, as you mentioned. The way you want it, particularly, I suppose, whether you've been together for a certain amount of time, you've decided.
We feel like we know each other well
enough.
You've
decided what boxes have been ticked. But as you've pursued it more, yes, it might be possible, but it's like you're being... The world is pointing you towards the wedding that you didn't want.
Exactly, okay. And I know I probably sound a little bit like the wedding divas and stuff. I mean, I remember working on a program years and years ago about alternative weddings. And I remember thinking to myself, I'm definitely not going down this route, or this is ridiculous. And your brain seems to kind of forget, doesn't it?
As you get older. Now you're going to be swapping sand in your garden.
Exactly, and Andrew will be dipping the sword into the chalice, and yes, there'll be a hand fasting and all that kind of stuff. But I mean, we'll get there.
I think the big story here is that really why you've spoken to us, and we've kind of talked about the complications to some extent of just trying to get over the line, is the fact that there's no availability in the register office for a year in Letterkenny on any date.
I think from my point of view, it's a case of I could not fathom how the HSE can stand by this embargo, when the crisis that is evolving in this country in relation to health and services is crumbling. And they are making it harder and harder and harder for not just themselves, but for everybody around.
And their staff as well having to deal with all of this.
And their poor staff, these poor people who are trying to make pieces of themselves to make up for, to do the job of five people. You've got two people.
Did you ever consider looking abroad?
No.
That's that.
The reason
I don't even know, maybe you still need to go to the register. Yeah. I don't know how it all works.
No. I mean, you do. I mean, there are certain countries within the EU, I think, where you can. I mean, if I got married in the north, it wouldn't be... wouldn't be viable in the south, obviously, because of Brexit.
Right.
But I think within the EU, you can get married, but you still have to do the registry.
And you still want to get married here. Yeah. I want people
to be able to come, and the people that I want coming aren't in there, would be, kind of the elderly or, that kind of way. Yeah. So I don't want them having to worry about not being
right,
able to
okay. Plan. Well, it's an interesting one. I hope everything works out for
you. Well, thanks.
I mean, obviously, in terms of the Stranola option, the earlier you get, how often do people cancel? I don't know.
Yeah, that's it exactly. I mean, I have provisionally kind of put the date down. I've said, look, I'm going to stick my name on that date anyway, and we'll see over the next few weeks. I'm going to have to pull the plug on it and see how we go. But
it'll be grand.
Well, listen, thank you, Greg.
whatever happens, I'm sure you will continue to be very happy together. Thank you very much, Cleena.
Thank you, Greg.
Back with more after the break. Regular listeners to Highland Radio and other media outlets across the Northwest would be familiar with the VRT controversy. Ryan Stewart's a campaigner on VRT and would have been a voice very, very familiar to a lot of people on this issue. Good morning to you, Ryan. Thanks for joining us.
Good morning, Greg.
I always found the whole issue really quite complex. So I suppose in as simple terms as is possible, and that's not always possible, Ryan, can you give us the background to this controversy?
Well, there's been a lot of controversy over the years regarding VRT, not least how it's been enforced, how it's been prosecuted, people going to court, we know all about that up here in Donegal. But the reason I'm on today is regarding the findings of the Tax Appeals Commission. Now, this is potentially a very explosive story in that the Tax Appeals Commission have found, and Revenue have actually admitted, that they've been using the wrong tests in cases where people were entitled to bring a car from the UK into Ireland free of charge under transfer of residence, and it also would affect temporary exemption rules as well. So, the admission by Revenue that they've used this test in a number of cases. The question is it just a few cases? Is it widespread? And from my own experience, going back 15 years dealing with VRT and Revenue, I know that it's not a small select number of cases. The just to sort of simplify this, the test that we're talking about is the test regarding your tax residency, your tax domicile. So if you were living in England and or France or wherever, and you decided to come back to Ireland, you've had a car over there and you want to bring it back with you, you can bring that in free of charge as long as you've owned the car for 6 months and you were over a year living away from home. So the test, and this isn't just a VRT test, this is a test that's applied to anybody, high earners, even the likes of Bono, you know the crack about staying so long in a particular country and then moving away to establish a tax domicile somewhere else. So basically the first test is, have you lived there for 185 days of the year abroad? If that's a yes, the box is ticked and on you go, your tax residency has been confirmed. If there's an issue with it, the next step is they do a 2-year look back and go, well, if you were there 280 days, box ticked. But where revenue have gone is, instead of stopping at the first tick box, they've gone and looking for personal ties, looking for other facts and material that they can use to effectively deny people those rights of transfer of residence.
Was this in any way caught up with, convoluted or tied in with people claiming a residency in Derry, for an example, and driving a Northern Registered vehicle in the Republic? Or is that something completely different?
Not quite the same. Where you would have, I know where you're coming from, that's where people might have a Northern license, even though they live here, and they say, no, I live in Derry, et cetera, et cetera. But I mean, for customs, it's pretty easy for them to find out if you are here, because all they have to do is look at your driver's license, check your surname, check your date of birth, and up will come a PPS number. You know, so that's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. Where what we're talking about here, the Tax Appeals Commission was, it was an appeal that was lodged by a Dr. Anya Mitchell, who had moved back at the start of the COVID pandemic. She'd been living in England for a couple of years. She came back to work as a doctor in Sligo. And basically, she was refused on a number of different grounds. You know, if you actually saw the decision, revenue chopped and changed the reasons why they refused to allow her the exemption. Now, in most cases, when that happens, people go, to hell with it, I'll just pay it, just to get it done. Register the car here, pay the money. But Dr. Mitchell, she took it further. And she paid the VRT and then appealed it to the Tax Appeals Commission and set out all the grounds why. And it became very clear very quickly that revenue had convoluted the rules. They were basically using the wrong test to deny her.
And was this in the majority of cases? Obviously, people, you know, might have to pay fines or pay VRT that they didn't really actually have to pay. Would there be a big group of people as well who were accused of this at the roadside and said, you know, if you don't pay these fines, we're going to seize your vehicle? And then people in the face would go, wow, okay, I'm worried about this, I better do that. And then having, because it's really quite complex, then having to go on and clarify the situation. You're like, there's a whole cohort of people that could have been caught up in this at the higher and what some would see as the lower scale.
Yeah, you see, there's a couple of different facets here. What you're talking about there is cease and release, where basically if you're stopped at the roadside, they say, okay, we believe that you're a state resident in possession of a foreign registered vehicle. What they should be doing in the first instance is issue a warning. We know that they don't do that all the time, especially if they have observed the car a few times. So what they say is, okay, we're seizing your vehicle. You can pay a release fee, which is up to 10% of the value of the vehicle, and then you have to pay the VRT. It's a slightly different thing, but at the same time, if you claim an exemption, if you claim that, actually, I'm just back from England and I'm waiting to clear this car in, the same thing could happen. They could seize the car, add the penalties on, and then you still have to go through the entire appeals process, which is very convoluted. There's a number of steps to it. The first step is you're basically asking the officers who seized the vehicle to make a determination that they were wrong, which just doesn't happen, really. You can present additional evidence. It doesn't always work. And then you have to go through an external panel, the Tax Appeals Commission, which is a long process as well.
And is this still the situation? There's other charges and all that are in. And I don't want to confuse important cars or not important cars when you should with this system that you're talking of about moving back to the country. I mean, like, is it as clear as it sounds? Because how many people are actually moving vehicles from the UK or Europe and getting stung this way? I mean, is it a big number, or are other people getting caught in the net? Do you get where I'm coming from, Ryan? I don't know anyone in my life who's ever moved back here and took a vehicle in. Do you get me? So I don't talk for me to get a sense of scale.
Big an issue is this. Well, I mean, I'm only talking from my experience in Donegal and certain areas around the border where people would have contacted me for advice and whatever on this. I mean, countrywide, yeah, you know, there's people moving forward and back from the UK all the time.
Yep.
I would say predominantly more in Dublin, just population-wise and all the rest. But this, it's not just a case of...
Does it get complicated when people sort of have to prove that their actual residency was outside of Ireland, because maybe this vehicle was being driven when they were returning home every other week to visit family or something? Do you know what I mean? Is that where some of this is getting complicated as well? Because people are having to prove that, yeah, I've been back in Ireland to visit my family, but I actually live in England, for an example.
Yeah. I mean, the Tax Appeals Commission, what their findings were is that the level of detail that Customs sought from people who were trying to bring these vehicles in was basically an invasion of privacy. I mean, they're looking for bank statements to see where you shop, where you go, where your friends are, etc. And but this is the point, is that they should never be looking for that information if you satisfied the test in the first place.
And it's being established that there's a potential abuse of prosecution process. They need to investigate how many abuses of this process took place, what's going to happen to those people. A proper ombudsman's investigation would be welcomed as well, because some people are sort of saying, you know, we're seeing what's unfolding in Britain with the post office scandal. Maybe it's not on the same scale, maybe it is, but is there sort of a similar scale of scandal in this country as well, where people are criminalised incorrectly and can't take on the system and are effectively having to walk around as criminals in inverted commas when there was an abusive prosecutional process?
Yeah, you see, the thing about it is with the Horizon scandal in the post office in the UK, the post office, like Revenue, are basically a state body who, on the rare occurrence, are able to actually initiate their own prosecution proceedings against individuals. Now, when I say that, yes, if somebody is taken to court, that goes through the DPP, but at the roadside, where they are basically judged during executioner to say, we believe, and you have to pay a fine, or we're taking your car away.
Which is exactly what happened to postmasters, postmistresses taken into a room and said, look, you're the only person that's at this crack. We can make it go away. All right, listen, Ryan, we'll stay on top of this story with you, if that's okay. We do appreciate your time this morning. Have a great day, okay? Thank you very much indeed. Ryan Stewart there, VRT campaigner. News on the way.